I know that the artificial sweetener is probably not good for you. The reality is, I love Coke Zero. Got a 6-pack of it in the refrigerator right now, and it's cool, and it goes down smooth. But you know what would happen to me if I try to live on nothing but Coke Zeros. I'd eventually die because Coke Zero is just that. It has zero nutritional value. Today's lesson, what I want to talk about is how some people are trying to live on Coke Zeros for the soul. And what they're doing is spiritually starving themselves to death. What I want to do is to preach both lessons today on this vitally important subject. We'll start off by looking at some principles that are involved and then make some important applications to our lives. Here are some principles I think that we absolutely have to understand. First of all, that man is both flesh and spirit. He is body and soul. We have two natures. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Remember him, God, that is, before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed." Basically, it says, remember God before you die. Why? Because then the dust will return to the earth as it was. In other words, your body is going to decay and return to the dust from which it was created. But the spirit will return to God who gave it. In the New Testament, you see this important subject discussed as well. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, it says in Luke 16 that there was a rich man and there was a poor man named Lazarus. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. So his body is still on the earth, but his soul is now in Abraham's bosom. And you contrast with the rich man, who also died. He was buried, but his soul was taken to Hades, and he was in torment. And he saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. So very clear from both these passages, the man is a dual in nature. He has flesh, he has body, but he also has spirit, and he has soul. What I found interesting, if you think about this, is that our body has got to have food and drink to survive and thrive, and our soul does too. Both our soul and body need food to survive and thrive. In Psalm 42 and verse 1, you see the need for the soul for food and for water. Psalm 42:1 says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, as the deer longs for water, so my soul pants for you, O God." Our soul needs food and drink to survive just as surely as our body does. It also has hunger and thirst, the soul does. You know, when our body needs food and it needs drink, and the way our body tells us when we need those things is by having hunger pains. It causes us to thirst. And the soul does the same thing. Next verse out of Psalm 42 says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Now, when we're considering soul food versus fleshly food, we need to appreciate that they are fundamentally different. Food for the body is physical, whereas food for the soul is spiritual. And in the passage that Brother Lundy read, it's very clear that Jesus was hungry and his body wanted bread, the kind that we eat every day. But he says there in verse 4, if you look at the bottom of the screen, It says, man shall not live on bread alone. And that's talking about how man is dual in nature. He has both soul and body. And if you're going to truly survive in life and thrive, you need more than just physical bread, because you also need to feed your soul as surely as you need to feed your body. And that's why Jesus says there, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Both the body and the soul need food and water, but they are different. One is physical, the other is spiritual. Now, here's another principle that's just clear as can be, is that food and drink for one does not satisfy the other. We can illustrate that a lot of ways. In James chapter 2, in verse 15, it says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled. In other words, you're offering them a spiritual blessing. So you've given them something spiritual in nature, but they're hungry physically. If you don't give them food for their body, physical food, what use is that? So spiritual food does not satisfy physical hunger pains. And by the same token, neither does physical food satisfy spiritual hunger pains. The whole book of Ecclesiastes is devoted to the idea of what gives man satisfaction. And since man is both soul and body, if man's going to be fully satisfied, you've got to make sure that his soul is fed and watered as surely as his body. And if you're going to feed and water your soul, you've got to have spiritual food. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, you know, gave himself all of the physical things he could imagine, but his soul was still empty. And so he concluded this way in Ecclesiastes 12:13, the King James Version says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now that, in the original language, has some italics in it. And if you remove the italics, the idea is this: let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this, the whole of man. If you want to be whole, if you want to be complete, you got to take care of both your body and your soul. You can't take care of your body with soul food. You can't take care of your soul with physical food. Now, what is spiritual food? What is spiritual food? Well, spiritual food is trusting and obeying God. It's walking by faith. Jesus said some very interesting things along this line in John 6:35. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. So what is spiritual food and drink? Jesus is and His will. John 7:37, He says, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, it's talking about if you're spiritually thirsty, come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from the innermost being will flow rivers of living water. What he's saying here is, if you have a spiritual thirst, drink of me, and you will never be you will not thirst. Interesting passage over in the sixth chapter in verses 53 and 54. Sometimes you kind of scratch your head trying to figure out what he's saying there. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourself. And you hear that and you kind of wonder, what in the world is He talking about? He's talking about how He is spiritual food. He is soul food. And if you want to nourish your soul, you've got to feed on Jesus. You've got to imbibe His flesh and His spirit. And it's in a spiritual sense. The idea is you've got to take Jesus' words and make them a part of who you are. So that's how you feed and hydrate your soul, is by trusting and obeying God. And if we'll do that, if we'll truly trust and obey God, we will be satisfied. Matthew 5:6 makes it clear. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So if we eat Jesus' flesh and drink His blood in order to feed and water our souls and we're doing it the way He says, we will be satisfied. So what's the reality? The reality is if we're not satisfied, we're not really doing this. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Psalm 63 and verse 1 gives us an illustration of this. David says, O God, You are my God. I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh yearns for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So here's the person who's got spiritual thirst, big time spiritual thirst. And so he's looking for God. So what does he do? He says, well, I'm going to go to the temple and I'm going to worship God. What happens when he does that? He says, thus I have seen You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. And here's what the consequence was. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. So if we will truly trust and obey God, we will be satisfied. We will be satisfied. Here's another principle, and we're just laying down some principles that are important to get to the conclusions we're trying to reach. We cannot be satisfied if our soul is not satisfied. You just can't do it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, a very interesting passage, it says, He has made everything appropriate in His time. Talking about God. He has also set eternity in their heart, so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. It's a very interesting verse. And if you look at the New American Standard Bible, it gives us a footnote which supplies, instead of yet so that man, it gives the idea of without which man. And so if you read that there, it says, He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, without which man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. The point is that life makes no sense without God. And we know that because God has put that knowledge in our hearts. We all know it. Man is both body and soul. God has put eternity in our soul, and the idea is that since we are unlike family dog Fred, I've talked about Fred before, or cows, let's talk about cows. Cows amaze me. They sit out in that field day after day, week after week, month after month. As long as they got food and water, you know what? They're as happy as a cow. You and I can't do that. Why? Because we know we're more than just flesh. We're also soul. We have eternity in our hearts. And I try not to quote very much, but I love the way this is put, and I think it expresses it so well. The soul has its hunger and thirst. These desires were built into man at creation. Thus the passage we've just read. Augustine said it perfectly, Thou hast made us for Thyself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. Just as it is normal for the deer to thirst after the water brooks, so it is natural for man to thirst after God. He may not know that his thirst is for God, and he'll probably try to satisfy that thirst with a substitute that will leave him with even more thirst. But a thirst for God is what it is, just the same. God has put eternity in our hearts and the temporal cannot satisfy. We will never be completely satisfied and fulfilled human beings until we nourish our soul. When I was in Tulsa, I had a lesson for the youth lectureship there on materialism. And I put two and two together in a way I hadn't before. And this just makes so much sense to me. I hope it does to you. How much physical food and drink do you need to satisfy the flesh? Think about the cow out in the field. He doesn't need a whole lot. He doesn't have barns full of hay that he needs in order to be content. He just needs to have hay right there and easy access to water. And he's a happy cow. When you're looking at the physical side of man, it just doesn't take a whole lot to satisfy the flesh. It really doesn't. 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 7. It says, we brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it. Either if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. All the flesh really needs is food and clothing. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, don't be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Just think about it. It just makes sense. From a pure physical standpoint, we don't need a lot for our body, our flesh, to be satisfied. So why aren't people satisfied? Here's the inside. People are not satisfied not because their flesh lacks food and drink, but because they are trying to satisfy their spiritual hunger and thirst with things that don't provide sufficient nutrition for the soul. See what I'm getting at? Why are people dissatisfied? Well, it's not because they don't have enough food and clothing, physical in nature. The reason people are dissatisfied is they're trying to feed their souls with things that don't have any spiritual nutrition. And that's why I'm talking about in this lesson about people who are drinking Diet Coke or Coke Zero for the soul. They're trying to preserve their soul drinking, eating things that just don't have any nutritional value. I'll give you an example. In Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, all a man's labor is for his mouth, yet the appetite is not satisfied. People who are not feeding their soul with true soul food, they work and they work and they work and they work, but they're not satisfied because what they're trying to feed their soul with just doesn't have the nutrition it needs to get where they want to go. Jeremiah 2:13, God spoke to the children of Israel, and this is a very powerful verse. It says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Not only have they, what they've done is they, if you need real water that feeds your soul, I'm the source. They've forsaken that. So anything else they drink is going to be Coke Zero for the soul. The two things they did wrong, not only to forsake the fountain of living waters, they also hewed for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They turned away from the true source of spiritual water to idols and drank from them, and there's just no nutrition in that at all. And so they're dissatisfied. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, God says, ho, everyone who thirsts. Are you spiritually hungering and thirsting? If you are, come to the waters. Come to me, he says. And you don't have to have money to buy it. You don't have to earn it. He says, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And notice what he asks. He says, why do you spend money for what is not bread? Why do you spend so much of your time trying to feed your soul with things that just won't satisfy it? And your wages for that which does not satisfy. He says, listen carefully to me. And eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Jesus, in John chapter 6, very powerful and very interesting chapter, says if you really want soul food, if you want some food that's going to make you really satisfied beyond just the physical, if you truly want to be satisfied, you want to feed your soul, he says, my flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. There are a lot of people that are trying to feed their souls with things that aren't any more really food than Coke Zero is. And as a consequence of that, what? They're spiritually starved to death. Now, I would admit that such pursuits can, for a time, satisfy you. But ultimately, I mean, Coke Zero, I mean, you know, initially it tastes great, but if that's all you drank, pretty soon you'd be hurting physically. That's what happens when you sin. Sin has a passing pleasure. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." And there's nothing better in the world sometimes than a Coke Zero. Tastes really good, but you know what? If that's all you ever consumed, it wouldn't last. The pleasure wouldn't last. It would pass. And soon you'd be starving to death. And sometimes what we're trying to feed ourselves with are not necessarily things that are inherently wrong. Sometimes people find some degree of satisfaction in doing the right things. The problem is they're just not doing everything. It's like with your body. There's certain essential vitamins and minerals. Some people find some satisfaction in doing some of the things God says, but ultimately they starve to death because they need a whole panoply of vitamins and minerals, and they're just not getting all they need. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 4 and 4, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Sometimes people will make the point, aren't people that aren't believers, aren't they satisfied? And I said, my answer is, for a time, they can be. But it passes. It passes. Because sin's lures quickly fades. And even if you do some things right and get some degree of satisfaction from it, if you don't strive to do everything God says, you're always going to be dissatisfied. And what happens because of this truth? Well, because of this truth, some people despair because they think there's nothing more than more of the same. That life has no meaning. You know, that's what Solomon did. He said, "I'm not going to think about God. I'm just going to go out and see if I can enjoy life without Him." Couldn't do it. And that's why so many people that are famous, like Robin Williams and others, countless others, they get everything the world says you could possibly dream of, and they're still miserable human beings. Some people despair because they think they're feeding and watering their soul, but in reality, they're not. A lot of times that's the way it is with Christians. They sit there and they'll say, "I'm doing what God says. He's letting me down." And the reality is, no, you're not doing what God says. You're not feeding on the true food and the true drink of Jesus Christ. And what makes things even worse is that a lot of churches assure people that they can spiritually thrive on a diet of Coke Zero for the soul. That's what we want to talk about in tonight's lesson. For this morning, let's make some applications and we'll be done for this morning. These principles, now that we've laid them out, there's some important applications we need to make. First of all, I hope that you can see that this is a needful lesson. I'm not just talking to people that aren't here this morning. I'm talking to those of us who are here this morning. A lot of us are dissatisfied. We're not happy people. And the problem with us is that we're trying to feed our soul with foods that don't have nutritional value to satisfy. The Scripture speaks to that very plainly. In Philippians 3 and verse 18, Paul said, "Many walk, of whom I've often told you and now even tell you weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction," notice this, "whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." Here are people that have an appetite. They may or may not know that what they're really hungering and thirsting for is God. But whether they know it or not, what they're trying to do is satisfy that hunger and thirst with things that aren't true food and true drink. And what are they? The glory will be shame. The end will be destruction. They're at odds with Christ Himself. This is an important lesson. If we're not satisfied, we need this lesson. That brings me to the second application. We must accept that what it takes, we must accept what it takes to truly be satisfied. This is a lesson that is important because people need it, a lot of dissatisfied folks. And if this lesson is going to benefit any of us, we've got to appreciate what it really takes for us to be truly satisfied. And that is, and that can only ever be, Jesus Christ. If you try to be a satisfied whole human being without God, it's not going to work. It is an experiment that people have tried year after year, generation after generation, decade after decade, century after century, millennial after millennia. It never works. So this is a lesson, because there are dissatisfied people. And to get satisfaction, we have to recognize the source of true satisfaction, and then we have to accept why we're dissatisfied. And that's because we are not choosing to feed and hydrate our souls with things that can satisfy us. In other words, if we're not satisfied, we've got to take responsibility for that. I'm the one who's eating spiritual junk food. No wonder I'm not satisfied. We need to quit blaming God. We need to quit blaming circumstances. We need to quit blaming anything and everything but ourselves. If we feed on Christ, Scripture makes it very clear, as we've already laid down in one of our principles, that we can be satisfied. So if we're not, this lesson is going to mean anything to us. We've got to take responsibility for our dissatisfaction and quit eating spiritual junk food. Life's not about things. Luke 12:15, Jesus says, "Beware on and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Some people think the way to be satisfied and what they're needing is spiritual satisfaction. The way to do it is to accumulate so much stuff. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And so if that's the route we're going, we have no one to blame but ourselves. We're putting value in things that are not valuable. John chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." A very important verse. What Jesus is telling us, brethren, is that if we want to be truly satisfied, we have to look at everything through God's eyes and lenses. It is the Spirit who gives life. The Holy Spirit. He is the one that will teach you how to be satisfied. If you do it the devil's way, the flesh's way, you'll get nowhere. It is the words of God that are spirit and they are life. So it's an important lesson. A lot of dissatisfied people. We need to appreciate why that is, and we need to take responsibility for it. And if we need to, brethren, what do we need to do? Well, we need to change. We need to change. We need to quit listening to all the voices out there that are telling us, go buy your bags of chips and dip and Diet Coke and flourish. Because it doesn't work that way. We need to change our diet and eat soul food, true soul food. John 6:26. "Truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." People there in John chapter 6, why were they interested in Jesus? It was because they saw Him as a way to have their stomachs, their literal stomachs, fed. And Jesus was saying, "You don't get me. I'm not your physical meal ticket. I'm your spiritual meal ticket to heaven." So He says, "Don't work for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." For some of us, satisfaction will be a complete and utter paradigm change. We've got to quit thinking that we can feed our souls with the flesh and understand that the only way we can satisfy what really we're hungering and thirsting for is doing it God's way. Not our way, not man's way, but His way. Like I said, tonight we're going to talk about some of those voices out there and what they're saying to us, how it's a lie. Final thing is, we've got to quit living in denial. It is frustrating, to say the least, to work with some brethren, because they'll come to you miserable human beings. You lay out what the Bible says to change that. They go away. Okay. They come back a year later. You know what they are? They're miserable human beings. And you ask them, have you been doing the things that the Bible says for you to do? You know what the answer is? No. And it's sad because Jesus is drink indeed and He is food indeed and we can have satisfaction. The only thing between us and that is us. But we fool ourselves into thinking, it's not me, but it is. We can deceive ourselves, brethren. That's why the Scripture warns us, let no man deceive himself. If you want to believe that you're not at fault badly enough, you can convince yourself that everybody's to blame but you. The problem with that is that you'll spiritually starve to death and nobody can help you because you refuse to be helped. Here are some things that we deny. Sometimes we say, well, if I just had more, then I'd be satisfied. And the reality is more of the same will just mean more of the same. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, if you love money, you're not going to be satisfied with money. And if you love its income, you're not going to be satisfied with its increase. See, the problem is the body needs very little. All we need is food, water, and shelter, clothing. And you don't have to have a whole lot to have that. So what humanity is really doing is trying to feed not a bodily hunger and thirst, but a spiritual hunger and thirst. And they're trying to do it with things that do not satisfy, like money. If you think that you'll be spiritually satisfied if you get to a certain level of income, you're fooling yourself, because once you get there, you'll need a new level of income. Once you get there, you'll need another level of income. So quit deceiving yourself. More of the same will just mean more of the same. If you're finding pleasure in diet food for the soul, if you're finding pleasure in it now, don't fool yourself into thinking it's always going to last, it's always going to feel good. There are a lot of people, for example, that are trying to satisfy their spiritual hunger and thirst with things like drugs and alcohol, food, all kinds of things, sex, those kinds of things. You know, the pleasure of that is there for a moment, but it doesn't remain. Don't fool yourself into thinking that what's good now is always going to be that way. Listen to God. He's trying to save you from yourself. God's nutrition plan works. Sometimes what we do is we deceive ourselves into thinking, you know what? I know that's what it says, but it just really won't work. It might work for you, but it's not going to work for me. I'm a special case. No, you're not. God created you. He made you. He knows what you need. Trust Him. He will not let you down. You can do it. You can do it. Sometimes what we do is we lie to ourselves and we say, it's too hard. It's asking too much. I can't. And as we talked about Wednesday night in class, maybe we can't, but you know what? God can. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Quit relying on your own strength and rely on God. And He will show you that He can abundantly do exceedingly more above all that you ask or think. Let me suggest to you that nothing is worth believing a lie. We all know people who have come to forks in the road where they want something. Let's say they want a spouse. They want to marry somebody. They got no business marrying. And what they do all of a sudden is they come up with a new understanding of Scripture they never had before. And they act like they really believe that it's true. And maybe they've convinced themselves that it is, but I'm trying to talk to us before we get to that point. It's not worth it. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's who's going to enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? But notice what Jesus is going to say. I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. When we are told by Jesus with tears streaming down his face, go to hell. Whatever we had in this life that caused us to go there will not be worth having had. Nothing is worth believing a lie. And we could go on and on. But I hope you see the point. God loves you. He wants what's best for you. He knows that He is what's best for you. We need to trust Him and feed our soul with Him, and we will be abundantly blessed. So what is the whole point of Coke Zero? It's to keep us from consuming other things that might put on the pounds. And that may be appropriate if we need to watch our weight, but you know what? Coke Zero is not a substitute for good nutrition. It's just not. And what I hope we understand now is that we're dual-natured people. We've got both body and spirit. And what I'm trying to say to us is that what we're trying to do is find satisfaction for our spiritual hunger and thirst. A lot of us are by eating junk food. And it won't work. So let's not be so foolish as to try to nourish our spirits with what we might call Coke Zeros for the soul. Lesson is yours. If you're here and you're not a child of God, God loves you desperately. He loves you so much He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And brethren, that's love. That's love. Jake in his talk talked about how not a lot of us have had people die specifically for us. I got a tooth pulled. And I'm thinking of getting an implant. And what they've done is to graft some bone into the socket. I asked the question, where'd you get the bone from? Where are you going to get the bone from? It totally surprised me. It's cadaver bone. So my mouth right now is something that's helping me live, but it took someone else's death to have it. It wasn't long ago, I forget the context, but somebody was talking to somebody who had a heart transplant. He said, "You come with the, if you have someone else's heart beating in your chest, you come to really appreciate how someone had to die so that you could live." And that's what Jesus did for us. He died so that we can spiritually live. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. He wants to bless you in the here and now. He wants you to be in heaven. Trust Him. And He'll never let you down. So if you believe with all your heart, you're willing to believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ and confess that faith before men, if you will turn your life over to God in repentance, in wholehearted repentance, come this morning and we'll baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And having come here lost, you can leave here saved. Now you can feed on what is true food and true drink and find blessings that you can only begin to imagine. So if you're not a Christian, become one. If you are a Christian, if we can assist you in any spiritual way, tell us how as we stand and sing.